Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 3 John chapter 1. Before we get there, though, in Romans 5:21, sin reigned unto death. Sin always reigns unto death. Sometimes people do not know why they should not get into things that are sin. Several young people, after they became believers, after they were taught, have told me, we didn't know why we shouldn't sin. Nobody told us why not. This is common in the world today of Christianity. This is also one of the reasons why young people who are Christians frequently do enter into sin, because nobody tells them why not. When you're in a ministry that preaches the Word of God, it does offer some insulation, some protection from the world. And you would think to yourself, well, this is how it is everywhere. That's not true. That's how it is in the place that you're accustomed to because they teach the Word of God. It's not like that everywhere. Sometimes I'm surprised how many Christians will go out and fornicate, for example, when that is such an obvious thing that God calls sin. He says, don't do that, and yet they do it all the time. They don't know that it's sin. And it produces the results of sin, which is death. Sin reigns. Sin becomes governmental. And it will bring you to death. Sin will never give you a benefit. Satan always says, oh, do this and you'll get some benefit. It does not work that way. He is a liar and he is the father of all lies. If he is lying, he is speaking. This is how he speaks. He lied to Eve. He lies to everybody else. He says to you, you will have some pleasure in sin. Now, there is pleasure in sin for a season, for a period of time, but the end, the wages of it, is death. That's why he brought sin into the world. Yes, it was Satan who brought sin into the world so that he could kill. Sin is governmental because once a person enters into sin, it's harder and harder and harder the farther they go to get back out of sin. Sin then becomes its own punishment. It reigns unto death. Whatever is not of faith is sin in Romans 14:23. If I get accustomed to, if this becomes my practice, to operate outside of the Word of God, which produces faith in me, therefore to operate outside of faith, therefore to operate in sin, it becomes governmental. It becomes easier and easier to live outside of faith, harder and harder to return into faith. Sometimes people say to themselves, well, I can get back into it whenever I want. That's not true. Sin reigns unto death. Sin becomes governmental and then it kills you. Unfortunately, many people discover this the hard way who did not believe it to be true, but they found out that sin really does reign unto death. Then it continues there, even so grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Righteousness in Romans 3:22 comes from faith. And so, my faith is what it's talking about. Grace reigns through faith. I have a faith response because I accept what God says as true because it is the truth in John 17:17. And therefore, I think in grace because I think in truth. The person who does not think in grace thinks in private interpretation of circumstances. But I think in grace because I think in truth. And the more that I think in truth, the more that it brings me into grace. Eventually, grace becomes governmental when truth becomes governmental. And so truth becomes the standard of my thinking, and now I have governmental grace regulating the things in my life. This brings me to the quality of eternal life. Not everyone has a quality of life that is the quality of eternal life. Many people have a quality of life that is, frankly, a very poor quality. God does not want us to have a poor quality. In John 10:10, he says he had come to give us a superabundant life. Yet if you ask a lot of believers, they say, no, I don't have a superabundant life. And some of them will say they have an outright miserable life. Why? There is something whereby truth is not connecting with them. And very frequently, that will be either because they are careless toward the truth. In other words, they don't receive the truth through the Word of God on a regular daily basis. Or they don't know the truth because they're not being taught at all. Or they're indifferent to the truth because they don't see the value of it. There's other reasons also, but those are three of the big ones. But whatever the reason is, the eternal quality of life comes when I think in truth, therefore I think in faith, therefore grace becomes the government of my life. I enter into what I have not earned because it is a gift of God that is given when I enter into the Word of God. The measure to which I enter the Word of God is the measure to which grace will reign in my life by means of truth to become a government in my life. A government of mercy. A government of loving kindness. A government of the goodness of God. A government of forgiveness. A government of the power of God on our behalf. This is entered through grace, through faith, by means of truth, which is the Word of God. Now, there is a process by which we enter into this. In 3 John, verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. This verse is sometimes misused by people who don't know what it says in the original language. They take the surface translation meaning and they develop a prosperity doctrine out of it. The prosperity doctrine, frankly, is wet behind the ears. Those people who adhere to it really don't know what prosperity is. Prosperity is when grace reigns unto life. Therein is prosperity. I am prospering as a believer if grace reigns unto life. John said, I wish above all things that you may prosper. Above is the word peri. And it's not what it sounds like. The interpretation of this does not capture the meaning. The word peri means because of, through, or account of, or concerning. So I wish because of all things, by means of all things, I wish this to be the outcome and the process in all things for you. So not above, I don't wish it more than I wish anything else, is what the translation makes it sound like. That's not what it means. Because of everything, by means of everything, in everything, that you may prosper. The word prosper is yodoustai. It's a present passive infinitive. It's a passive voice. So something is causing you to prosper. What is it? Everything. I want everything to cause you to prosper. And it means to grant a prosperous and expeditious journey. It also means help on the road to succeed in reaching your outcome. This is a very different meaning than the way that most people use this verse. So he is saying that I wish in everything, by means of absolutely everything, that those things that you encounter produce in you a very prosperous and expeditious journey. That everything that you encounter is ultimately a help on the journey that you have to cause you to succeed in reaching your goal, in reaching your outcome, in reaching the purpose that God had placed in your path. And be in good health even as your soul prospers. Even is the word kathos, and it means according as, or in proportion as, or in the degree that. So, in the degree that your soul prospers, in the degree that your soul is on an expeditious journey and a prosperous journey, in the degree that what is going on in your soul is helping you along the road to reach the purpose that God has placed in the road for you, I wish that all things, because of the condition of your soul, become a prosperous, fruitful journey for you. Now, this all depends on the condition of your soul. Prosperity depends on the condition of your soul. In Romans 5:21, grace reigns unto eternal life through righteousness. This is a condition of the soul. So he is not saying that I want you to have a lot of money in all that you do. That's not the prosperity he's talking about. Yes, you might end up with a lot of money, or you may end up with very little money. It has nothing to do with prosperity as far as God goes. There is a lot of very rich people, and for that matter, very poor people, who will be in both heaven and hell. It doesn't depend on their money. Don't ever get hung up on concrete. Heaven is paved with gold. Don't get hung up with concrete. God can give you all the concrete that you need. No, we take care of our soul. We take care of our soul. When I take care of my soul, when I give my soul that which it needs, how do I give my soul that which it needs? Through truth, the Word of God, producing faith in me that brings me into grace, Romans 5:2. And then when I enter into that grace, because truth is reigning in my life, grace becomes a government. The government of God in Hebrews 4:16 is where we meet Christ. Do you want to get to know God? Go to Him where He is. He's seated on the throne of grace. And when you go to the throne of grace, you go there by faith, which is produced by the Word, because it's truth. As you keep responding in truth, you don't respond to the world, you don't respond to the emotions, you don't respond to the circumstances, you don't respond to the people, you respond to truth. You respond to the Holy Spirit as He guides you in all truth, and you implement. I can't emphasize that enough, because without it, in James 2:20, whatever you have that you call faith is dead. You implement truth in your life. You use it. You think with it. You decide on the basis of it. You evaluate your circumstances with it. You base your relationships on it. Everything that you do, You do it utilizing truth. If you step outside of that truth and try to enter anything at all, whether it's a relationship or a dealing with circumstance, a job, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. If you try to approach anything at all outside of the Word of God's implementation in the practical details of your life, whether it's your life in a relationship, your life towards circumstances, your life at the job, whatever it is, then sin reigns unto death. That's why a lot of people have the experience of sin and death. That's why a lot of people have the experiences of a lack of an abundant life. Sin reigns unto death. That death is manifested when sin reigns. Don't be surprised if you're not operating in the Word of God as a practical basis of your thinking, as a practical basis of your communication, as the practical basis of your relating to things. On and on I could go. If you're not operating in that, don't be surprised if you have a deathly experience. Sin does that. It reigns unto death. On the other hand, grace reigns unto eternal life, and it does it by faith response. When I have faith response, my soul prospers. When I have faith response, no matter what I enter into, it'll work for my benefit to conform me to the image of the Savior in Romans 8:28 and 29. And so it's not the circumstance, it's not the people, it's not anything other than sin reigning unto death or grace reigning unto eternal life. If my experience is not grace reigning unto eternal life, it's because I'm not properly related to truth. Now, if this describes you, don't just sit there and let it continue. God is giving us definition from His Word so that we can make choices. In Deuteronomy 30:19, choose life. And so we continually make choices, but it's not a choice about circumstance. It's not even a choice about response. It's a choice about how we relate to truth. And from that choice, everything else stems, because those two choices, I either relate to sin, which is unbelief, something outside of faith, or something outside of the Word of God, or I relate to grace, which is entered into by faith, by the Word of God. If I enter the one, I'll choose death. If I enter the other, I choose life. Don't tolerate in yourself, don't ever point at circumstances or people. Sometimes people do that. Well, the circumstance. Well, the person. Well, this, that, and the other thing. Liar. Either you're lying or God's lying. And the Word of God said, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm saying that you're lying. Truth brings life. Truth in John 17:17 is the Word of God. It's not your interpretation of circumstances that you then call a fact. Truth brings life. God gave superabundant life by bringing the truth of the Word of God. I have the truth of the Word of God and I develop superabundant life. The average believer, you ask them, how's your life? Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. Is it superabundant? Well, it's not superabundant. It's not horrible. Some people will say, it's pretty horrible. And a rare one will say it's abundant. The relationship that we have is a relationship toward truth. The choices that we make are choices toward truth. So it's not that I choose to deal this way with a person or a circumstance or an event or whatever it is, a detail. That's the wrong orientation. No, I choose how I'm going to deal with truth. I'm either going to accept truth for the relationship, the circumstance, the detail, the event, whatever it happens to be, or I'm going to accept sin, whatsoever is not of faith, for the relationship, the detail, the circumstance, the event, whatever. And so I choose truth or I choose sin, and that determines everything else because those are the two things that reign. Every circumstance can cause me to prosper. In other words, every circumstance can give me an expeditious journey, a prosperous journey. Every circumstance can help me gain the goal that God has set before me of knowing Him. The difference is in my choice toward truth or toward sin. If I choose toward truth, I will have a healthy soul. If I choose toward sin, then death will reign in my soul. But I'm always choosing toward truth, or I'm choosing toward sin. One of the greatest elements of wisdom in Psalm 90 verse 12 is that I know how to number my days. Sometimes we don't consider that. Let me ask you something. Don't answer this out loud, but answer in your own heart and make sure you give an answer. How aware are you that you will be standing before God to give an account? Every Spirit-filled believer has this reality in the back of their mind. You're not necessarily worried about it, but you sure are aware of it. So how aware are you that you're going to stand before God to give an account? You're not going to stand before God for salvation's account. Salvation is a done deal for you if you're born again. But everything else, remember, salvation is the beginning, it's not the outcome. Salvation is where you start. How aware are you that you will stand before God to give an account? Did you know that God will not allow blame? God will not allow me to say, well, my circumstance. God will not allow me to say, well, these people. God will not even allow me to say, well, my health. And sometimes health is a reason. But not in the things that matter, whether grace or sin reign. Every individual makes their own choice toward truth or toward sin. And ultimately, this choice is where the accounting comes. Did you choose toward truth? Or did you choose toward sin? If I don't receive the Word of God, and I need to receive it more than I need to receive my daily food, if I do not receive it more than I receive my daily food, and the Bible makes it clear you need a minimum of an hour a day, then you're not going to have what you need to choose truth. Because the natural condition of the fallen nature of humanity is sin. And so I need something from God to help me overcome my natural condition. Those people who do not receive the Word of God daily, they are not equipped to choose truth. And therefore, in their lives, sin will reign unto death, regardless of their circumstances or their relationships or what have you. And for those people, the worst outcome, and they won't recognize this, but the worst outcome is if they're outside of the Word of God and everything is going well. Because that's the point where deception can take over very easily. A person is much better off being chastised by their sin than being content in their sin. If I receive the Word of God, and I do it habitually, I do it every single day, I have a relationship with the Word of God, then I'm equipped to choose truth. But there's no other way to become equipped. Why? Because grace, which is entered by faith, which comes by the Word, reigns. And when grace reigns, it produces God's quality of life in me. Do you think God sits in heaven and says, boy, today I had a bad day. Boy, things were tough today. Boy, I've been racking my brain with this circumstance. Boy, this relationship is not going well and I'm just so stressed out by it. You really think that God says that? Well, you are the body of Christ, are you not? If you are the body of Christ, you can have the quality of life that Christ gives. And if you have that quality of life that Christ gives, you're not going to be plagued by the trivialities, by the really insignificant things of the world. Most of the things that people really are upset about, worry about, get bogged down with, get hung up on, are in eternity utterly meaningless. They become so big to us because the soul does cleave to the dust. But in truth, they are meaningless. Well, this bad thing happened, and now I have to do X, Y, and Z to take care of it, and that's really a hassle. I'm sure that you're going to be thinking about that 100 million years from now as you're seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of God, reigning forever with Christ, enjoying the fullness of eternity in heaven. Yeah, I'm sure you're still going to be worried about that. Well, you know, 100 million years ago, that thing happened. 100 million years ago, fill in the blank for your detail. You know, 100 million years from now is now. Creation relativity shows us this. This is what Einstein showed us. 100 million years from now is now. All points of time exist now. You experienced your little portion of it. Okay, for those people who are confused by that statement, let me explain. We will not take much time on this because we talk about this a lot. Do not think of time as a line. People think of time as one moment after another moment after another moment after another moment with a line of moments. This is your experience of time. This is not what time is. Why is this important in the message? Because we're already seated above in heavenly places. We already are the heirs of God. We already have an inheritance from Him. We already have eternity where we are already located. How can it be if I'm in time? This is the answer. Time is not one moment after another moment after another moment after another moment. And time is not when you look at your watch or your clock. Einstein showed us, and this is the principle of creation relativity, which basically is Einstein's relativity applied to the Bible. Einstein showed us that every moment of time exists now. Think of it as a table. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, because space and time are the same thing, another thing that Einstein showed us, he didn't create just space, he created all of time. And everything that takes place in time was created in the same moment. Let me give you an example. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1:14 that on the fourth day, God created all the stars. All of them. And yet, there are some galaxies. There's one 10 billion light years away. Now, I'm not going to get into 10 billion light years, how we can see it from there. If you really want to know, read the book Creation Relativity. You can find it at Amazon. But 10 billion light years, there's a galaxy where scientists can see star-forming regions, and it takes about a year for a star to form. Yet, God is telling us that all the stars were created on the fourth day. How is that? Is that inconsistent? No, that is creation relativity. In that section of the universe, the fourth day exists. It exists here too. If I happen to be in that section of the universe, I'm in day four. I happen to be here. I'm not saying that light from day four took so long to get here. No, light comes here almost instantly. And that is another thing that Einstein showed us. But day four exists. Day one exists. The last day exists. Today exists. So like I said, think of it as a table. Do not think of it as a line. Time is a table. And there's a lot of things on the table. Maybe it's a huge dining table like you would find in a king's palace. And the servants put all these things on the table preparing for a royal dinner. And there may be many, many, many things on that table. They're all there at the same time. Have you ever gone to a dinner and there was only one thing on the table? I sit down at this royal dining table in some king's palace. The Queen of England is having a royal dinner and we sit down at her table and there's a fork and that's all there is. And after a while, the servant brings a spoon. And after a while, the servant brings a cup. Seems silly, doesn't it? No, when God created time, He created all of it. He populated all of it. The reason why we experience time that we do is we don't experience all of it. We experience just our part of it. But our part of it is not all of it. And what's more, we do not experience our part of it all at once. We are like a tiny little ant walking across that table. Well, if I'm somebody sitting at the table, then I can see the left side and the right side and everything in between. But if there's a tiny little ant starting on the left side of the table and he's got to make his way all the way to the right side of this huge table, he's going to encounter a spoon. And after that, he's going to encounter a fork. And after that, he may encounter a cup. And after that, he may encounter whatever, a bowl. Now, all of those things are on the table in the same moment. But the ant's experience is as though it was one after another after another. You never think of time as linear, as a line. That's not what time is. All points are here now. Now, what does that have to do for us? That means that everything that we need, that everything that God has said, that everything God has done is present in this moment. That all the promises are present in this moment. That all the answers to prayer are present in this moment. What puts the answer to prayer on the table? Prayer does. That's why God says you can be so confident in prayer, because it's prayer that puts the answer to prayer on the table. We participate with God in the formation of the events of time. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to know our relationship to the rest of time, so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. God says that He gives every promise, and that every promise has a positive response. In other words, all the promises in Him are yes, and so be it. So, what is applying my heart unto wisdom regarding my need? I go to the promises of God, and the answer is already present in time. Even though I may not have reached that point of time in my experience yet, as time goes, as it actually is, the answer is already there. If my soul is going to prosper, it's because I've learned how to relate to eternity. If I know how to relate to eternity, I'll know how to relate to all the answers of God. I'll know how to relate to the answered promises. I'll know how to relate to answered prayer. I won't just have expectation and confidence. I already know the answer is in place, so I have peace. I have tranquility. I have this calmness of mind. I don't have any anxiety. I don't have any nervousness. I don't rack my brain thinking, what's the outcome? The outcome has been defined by God, and it's been placed in time. Now, I may need to reach the outcome, but it doesn't mean that the outcome is not present. If you get in a car and you go somewhere, you reach your destination because the destination is there. If I pray, the reason why I pray is the same reason I get in a car, because the answer is there. If I expect from God, I expect from God for the same reason that I get in a car, because the fulfillment is there. Expectation is what allows me to stay the course, to reach the fulfillment. If suddenly somebody tells me when I'm going to Chicago that Chicago has vanished, I'll turn around. But if I have an expectation that I'll reach my destination, I'll stay the course. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to be properly related to all that God has in time. In Luke 12:22, you cannot do that if you start worrying about yourself. The person who worries about themselves, they will add burdens to themselves that they don't need. God already provides all the answers. God already provides all the needs. God already provides all the provisions. God provides everything that I need. I don't need to add a burden to myself that doesn't belong to me to worry about me. Some people say to themselves, well, if I don't worry about me, who will? Try God. Do you think you can honestly do as good a job as God can? Do you have His ability, His knowledge, His understanding? Do you have His power? Do you have all that He has? You do if you know how to relate to Him. But if you know how to relate to Him, You don't worry about yourself. What do I do then? Seek first the kingdom of God, in verse 31 of Luke 12. Seek first the kingdom of God. Because when I seek first the kingdom of God, I'll reach all the things that I'm looking for. You are risen with Christ. In Colossians 3:1, therefore seek those things which are above. Why? So that you become properly oriented to the purpose of your section of time. The reason why people have problems, problems that are not bona fide, problems that stem from sin reigning unto death, is because they are not properly related to seeking the things above. Seek the things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, where Christ is located and you in Him in the fullness of the power of God. Your life is already hid with Christ in God, in Colossians 3:3. You're already there. In Ephesians 2:6, you are already seated above in heavenly places. Yes, you were dead in verse 5 of Ephesians 2, but now you are alive. And you are seated above in heavenly places. This is why we can deal with time as time actually is. The way that Einstein showed us it is, the Bible talks about relativity all over the place. There's many, many references to relativity in the Bible. We deal with time as it is. We don't deal with time as though time is dealing with us. We deal with time as a finished work. That means we deal with the events that take place in our lives as a finished work. We don't let those events deal with us. We deal with people according to the finished work. We don't let those people deal with us. We deal with circumstance because the works are finished. We don't let the circumstance deal with us. You're seated above in heavenly places. Take your place as seated above in heavenly places. You're already in Christ. That's where your life is hid. Take your place as one who is in Christ. Live in reality and not in the delusion produced by the details of that which is passing away. In Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and don't sell it. Don't sell it for opinions. Don't sell it for appearances. Don't sell it for doubt. Don't sell it for the old sin nature. Don't sell it for the sake of your emotions being appeased. Don't sell it for the sake of circumstances being easier. Don't sell it because you think somehow the relationship is going to be easier for you, that you're not going to have to deal with negatives. Don't sell the truth. Don't sell it. If you sell truth, then all you have is a lie. And some people will live in the lie. Because they don't live in truth, they don't have grace reigning unto eternal life, but instead they have sin reigning unto death. Don't sell the truth. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? This is a simple passage that confuses a lot of people, because they don't know who the one is. And so, while they know in the back of their mind that they're not really competing against believers, it makes them think, well, I'm competing against believers because only one receives the prize, right? Well, only one does receive the prize. Who's the one? Everyone. How can that be? You're the body of Christ, are you not? Christ is the one who receives the prize. He is the prize. So what does that mean? Run as the one who obtains the prize. Well, in Psalm 19:5, Christ is the one who's doing the running. I just happen to be one person with Him. He's the one who gets the prize. And because I'm one person with Him, I get the prize with Him. Every born-again believer who lives in the finished work of Christ, who exercises what it means to be the new creation as the one new man, every born-again believer who lives in the life of faith, thereby grace that's reigning unto eternal life, every born-again believer who lives in the fullness of God, living inside of Him with the mind of Christ, in their practical details, utilizing that mind that is in Christ for every detail, every thought in their life, they get the prize because they're experiencing what it means to be one with Christ. He gets the prize. So when you run, when you go on this course, and that's a picture of a track, literally of a track, that athletes run on, run as the one new man. Think as the one new man. Function, decide, act as the one new man. As the body of Christ, you get the prize. That is to say, don't enter into doubt, don't enter into anxiety, don't enter into the beggarly elements, don't enter into the trivial, the mundane, the things that have no eternal value whatsoever, because those are excess baggage. Those have no eternal meaning. Those have no eternal value, significance, effect, nothing. Nothing about those will even be remembered in eternity. Don't get bogged down with them. Run as the one new man so that you receive the prize. Buy the truth. Don't sell it. You're always buying and selling. We don't have the option. We buy one thing because we sell another. We sell something because we buy another. You're always buying and selling. You're always trading. Trade self-orientation for God-orientation. If you're going to be God-oriented, you will not be self-oriented. If you're going to be self-oriented, you're not going to be God-oriented. You're going to buy and you're going to sell. What are you going to buy and what are you going to sell? That's the part that's your life. And when you sell that which is not truth to buy that which is truth, that's where you get grace reigning unto eternal life. That's where you get the fruit of eternal life. That's where you get the satisfaction of eternal life. That's where you get the power of eternal life. That's where nothing is impossible for you. Because you're living in the One through whom all things are possible. Grace reigns, and so does sin. Now, which one's going to reign? Will depend on what I choose. If I choose truth through the Word of God, then grace reigns. If I choose anything else, then sin reigns. But which one reigns depends on what I choose. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior. I accept Your gift of mercy and what You have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die and give me a relationship with You now as You come into my heart and live.